Okay, well, depending where you came in from today, you may be ready for bed right now or whatever. But I just, you know, really sense the Holy Spirit really has, you know, a time for us in what we're going to talk about. And that is page 16 of your notes in your syllabus, and that's discipleship, spiritual reproduction. And Dennis used a word tonight, which we could also write there, replication. So, Holy Spirit, we invite you. You are the Spirit of truth who leads us into all truth. And we ask you to give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of who our Lord Jesus Christ, King of Kings, is, the life of your word that we will talk about tonight, and how you, in such an awesome and marvelous way, speak to us from the big picture down to our lives, Lord, and our place in that. And we give you all glory in Jesus' name.
Yes.
So, as God has gifted Dennis, we just were in a session where we saw some really broad strokes, because Dennis is gifted in the prophetic, and so he sees a big picture. And so I know you might feel the same way I do. Wow, you know, and, you know, revelation is happening as you are listening. And then we say, okay, how do we break down that big picture to, you know, our lives? We want to stay in the big picture because it's God's picture, really. But I was thinking about what we're going to talk about, and that is discipleship, spiritual reproduction. And I was thinking of the life of our Lord when he came to earth. And of course, he was in the big picture, being in the community of the Godhead. But what did he do when he came to earth? He lived most of his life in his family, in his apprenticeship as a carpenter, and then at age 30 was released in the Holy Spirit, and for 3 years he chose ordinary people, really, who were so ordinary. They were slaves at that time of the Roman Empire. So I was thinking, as we'll talk about in a minute, when Jesus said to them, go and disciple the nations, they couldn't go anywhere at that time because they were under the Roman Empire, you know? But he took ordinary people and caused them to know him and ultimately do extraordinary things. That's why we're sitting here tonight. Because of those ordinary disciples who believed and were equipped by the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit after the powerful resurrection of our Lord Jesus. And they did go into nations, and that ripple effect went out, and here we are sitting.
Yes.
Because those ordinary people were faithful. And we're ordinary people, and we think, well, who am I? You know? And what can I do? I just want to show you this group. Maybe some of you are familiar. It's called BAM, Business as Mission. And my husband, you know, was reading this article. And here is the title of it: Want to Change the World, Make Disciples. I just want to, you know, we're not going to talk right and wrong answers here, but when you hear the word discipleship, just shout out maybe something that pops into your head.
Lead by example.
Mentoring. Leading by example.
Role model.
Role model.
Equipping.
Submitting, yeah.
Follower.
Follower, yeah. All of those things. Some could have negative connotations of that, you know. And I think we can all agree that although the church has mainly been involved in pastoral ministry, we haven't really talked about making disciples a lot. And, you know, if you have a church that is actively making disciples, they seem to be more rare. I mean, actually using that terminology. As Dennis was talking tonight about, you know, being concerned if you're in church leadership about the people in your church community really coming into their calling. And that would be really making disciples. As we see Jesus' disciples, they weren't like clones of each other. They were different men. And so in being concerned about making disciples, we're going to, you know, go through a few scriptures on this, just to, for that biblical foundation. We are talking about really a beautiful tapestry of the Lord, which is the church, the body of Christ, and every joint supplying, a beautiful tapestry that is woven together. And each thread, each pattern is just beautiful. The whole, you know, body where every joint supplies, every cell in our physical body is extremely important and has a function. And it all fits together to have a functioning body. So all these pictures in scripture. But we're just going to focus on, I had a PowerPoint presentation. I thought it was going to have a laptop because I thought, well, that will also help us really stay awake at this time of night. But anyway, so I did have the scriptures up on the PowerPoint, but we're just going to refer to them. But I would encourage you to just, you know, take this and use it as a little, you know, study maybe for a couple of days and look up these scriptures because we want to be rooted in the truth. Although truth seems to be so relative now, we are people of the truth because we are following Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Truth is a person, and we are disciples of him, and we are following him. And I wanted to just highlight this scripture first of Proverbs 11:30. The godly are like trees that yes. bear life-giving fruit. Mm. And God's way is reproduction. And I just want to focus on reproduction through relationship. And we're just going to kind of follow the notes here because I want to, you know, really highlight some things. God's creation mandate be fruitful and multiply, that we see in Genesis 1:28 that he told Adam and Eve, and he showed them that all of life has the capability of reproducing. And what we're going to do as we look at these different examples in Scripture of God's way of reproduction, is to see the relational base of it. I was reading the scriptures in Matthew 28 a couple of days ago. When Jesus resurrected, if you'd like to turn there, I have one scripture here, which is the Great Commission, go and make disciples of all nations. But I just want to look at some verses before that. Look at the context of this. In Matthew 28. Again, we're going to see the relational base of reproduction.
The 11 disciples traveled to Galilee together, where Jesus had directed them.
Oh, did you want to read?
Well, that's a verse or two before.
Yes.
When they saw him, they worshipped, but some still doubted. Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age."
Yes. We're going to back up just a few more verses before that, because I just really saw this in a clear way. To verse 9. As they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them. That was after the women were at the tomb, saw the angel, and the angel said to, you know, go and say that Jesus was raised. And then Jesus himself met them, saying, "Rejoice." And then he said to them, "Do not be afraid." Because they had a joy in their heart.
Yeah.
But like when most people in the scripture see angels, they fall down or, you know, they're like afraid. It's, you know, out of this world, really. So they had that. And Jesus spoke a relational word to them, to these women who he was very close to. He said, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." So this is before he ultimately gives them the Great Commission. He spoke to these women as his sisters, really, as those that he loved, and he spoke a word of comfort to them. Don't be afraid.
Yeah.
And then he called his disciples his brothers. Go tell my brothers. So then ultimately he says to them, all authority's been given unto me, and I give this to you. You go and make disciples of all nations. Now again, they probably didn't know what to do with that at that point in the context of where they were living. But then we had the day of Pentecost. They went and they waited in the upper room. And the Holy Spirit came, they began to understand what he meant. But I just wanted to point out that relational base, because before Jesus told them to go and make disciples, to reproduce, to replicate, he called them brothers. He spoke to the women as those who were close to him as sisters. Don't be afraid, you know? And then we move down to the example of parenting and family. Again, how does God want children to be birthed and nurtured and raised? In the context of family, a committed husband and wife that provides a nurturing, loving home where children can grow.
Yes.
You know, that relational base, again, that he wants to have children raised in, and then have children and so on. And then personal discipleship, 2 Timothy 2:1-2. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Paul is calling Timothy really his son. He wasn't biologically his son, but there was such a relational connection there that he was his son in the faith, that relational connection. He's telling Timothy, be strengthened by the grace that's in Christ Jesus and what you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, and trust, give to faithful men and, of course, women who will be able to teach others also. Okay, so the bottom line here is that God has set up life to go on and be reproduced, and reproduction in God is relational. That's how he wants it to be, because he is relational.
Yes.
God is, how does God define himself? God is love, right? That is the most relational word we can think of, and God describes himself as that. And we have the relationship of the Godhead. And then out of that relationship of the Godhead, men and women were created in his likeness. So we, of course, were created as relational beings. And God describes himself as a father. So all of these words. So he wanted physical reproduction to come out of relationship, spiritual reproduction to come out of relationship, family, you know, everything. We even, you know, I love animals. And I just love to watch animal mothers and fathers, just, you know, how they are with their babies, you know, communicating with them, nurturing and loving, not in sometimes almost in the same ways that we do by holding, verbal, yeah, all those kinds of things. And that's why we love it. You know, maybe I just love it because I'm a mom too, but I just love seeing that because, again, it's reproduction through relationship, through closeness. And so that's how our spiritual reproduction to be as well as we disciple others. Those who God brings into our life for us to disciple, he does not want them to feel like this is a functional thing. Well, they're doing it because they have to. I'm assigned to them. Nothing like that. We want them to know that we love them and we want to see them grow and mature in God. There's a relational base in that. Point two is that, to underscore this, God takes a multi-generational view of life. Again, this is relational. We see this in the Old Testament in all of these examples. Noah and his descendants after him. When you think about it, God saved mankind through a family, through Noah's family. Abraham and his descendants, we, you know, are familiar with the fact that God told Abram that all the families of the earth would be blessed through him. Again, that is a relational statement, generation to generation. And we have been blessed because of Abraham's obedience and being a father of faith. And then that went, of course, to Isaac and his descendants, Jacob and his descendants, and David and his descendants. God promised that if David's descendants were faithful, there would always be one of his descendants on the throne of Israel. And who did Dennis talk about tonight?
Jesus.
Yeah. Born in David's line, being the ultimate king of Israel, king of kings, Lord of lords. given all authority in heaven and on earth. So again, he wants us to think relationally, and then not just single generationally, but multi-generationally. Now, this is especially challenging in our existential culture, and seems to be growing even more narrow as far as people just thinking about the here and now. And it's my life. I hear this all the time. Nobody's going to tell me what to do, and I'm going to do what I want to do in my life, disconnected from the past or the future. And I'm sure you know people like this. And if you work at all in the marketplace or in any kind of sphere, you just hear this all the time. I work with a lot of millennials. Hardly any of them, their parents are together. My husband and I both work there. They call us the mom and dad, of the business there. They cannot even believe that we've been married for this long. Who stays married for 45 years anymore? You know what I mean? They love it, but they don't have anywhere to put it. And we get to show them every day, how this works.
They're kind of jaded, real politic kind of thing, just looking at the broken.
Yeah, most of the girls that have babies, they refer to the father as the baby daddy, which shows no relationship whatsoever.
Right.
Or the baby mama or whatever, it's just come down to so sadly that. And even the way they physically, engage in such destructive behaviors. It's just that single generational thinking, But we want to be salt and light in that. We want to be examples, leading by example. I want to show these young women, I am married to my husband for 45 years because I love him. And I really like him too. We have so much fun together. It's not just, we said I do 45 years ago and we stuck it out. No, we haven't stuck it out. We enjoy every day we're together, And again, they might not know where to put that in their life because even their grandparents are divorced, But we get to show them that. We get to give them light, really. It's light in the midst of the darkness. But that is a real challenge now, this whole single, just me, I'll do what I want or whatever, and who cares anyway? Because evolution has, the end conclusion is that I'm just here for now and nothing else really, matters after that. So,
unfortunately, many of us who have been given the charge to speak truth are afraid to challenge that truth in love. We're afraid to speak the truth back to them in love.
Yeah,
we moved away from that, and we see their ideology growing and growing and spreading and spreading. And we need to come back to speaking the truth in love.
Yeah, definitely.
Courageous.
Yeah, being courageous to lead by example, but also to speak that truth in love. So this is a challenge, but we want to meet that challenge. As Dennis says, we want to be on the front lines, no matter our age.
Yes.
Because, I think the youngest person in here has so much to say. If they have been raised in a godly home and been, just nurtured and given the truth, they are just, you just have such a wealth to give. You don't have to wait at all till, you know, you're 40, 50, 60. You know what I mean?
You're ready.
You are ready now. Ready now, because there's such a dearth out there. Okay, so we see that God's way is reproduction, and reproduction relationally, because God is relational. Secondly, he's multi-generational in his view, and he wants us to be as well. So that's how we're sowing, that's how we're building. And then after it's kind. So bringing this into discipleship is, if God's way of reproduction is after its kind, which going back to Genesis is where God gave the foundation really of everything, and that was used 10 times after its kind in that Genesis scripture in Genesis 1. Okay, and we want to make disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ with our lives. So that begs the question, okay, what kind of disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ am I? Because I want to reproduce, you know, after my kind. So first and foremost is knowing Jesus. And Dennis referred to this tonight. And if you would write that scripture in there, John 17:3, what did Jesus say is eternal life? Yes, knowing God and the one who he sent. We're not going to start eternal life once we die. It's already started in us, all of us. And when we receive Jesus Christ, and that eternal life, because he is the way, the truth, the life, is in us. And we want to sow toward knowing God and the one whom he sent, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our King, every day of this life. We don't grow to a certain point and stop. I want to grow in knowing my Lord every day of my life. I wasn't always there. I had reached like a plateau and a stagnancy. And thank God he rescued me from that. And he gave me a revelation, because revelation is critical. It's like, you know, if we're parents and we're trying to teach our children things, okay? You know, when they're little, they do it because we tell them to. Or, we really hope that's the case and train them that way. But our ultimate goal is they do it because they know it themselves. And so that is what revelation is to us in knowing Christ. We have to have continuous revelation. We pray that prayer from Ephesians, that we always want the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Now, that may not happen every day. Maybe it happens like 3 times in your whole life, but it changes you totally. So revelation and knowing him, and then growing and maturing in that. And, you know, being intentional and disciplined about that. And we see the same root for disciple is the word discipline. That this isn't just kind of, you know, willy-nilly here or there, but we're intentionally growing in our knowing of him. Any relationship that is meaningful in your life, you sow into. I mean, continually. I referred to, you know, my husband and I. We got married when we were 20. We were pretty young. But we've continued to grow in knowing who each other is, because my husband is not the same person he was when he was 20 years old. You know, he has grown. He's developed different interests, you know. So I want to know, who is Ken Nagvesky at 66 years old? You know what I mean? I want to keep knowing. If I really love him, I will keep growing in knowing him. The same way with any relationship that is close to us, we want to grow in our knowing. And we do that intentionally. No relationship grows without being intentional. And it doesn't just stagnate either. It goes backwards, is what happens. So we want to be disciplined through the word, through worship, prayer, fasting, just being engaged in these activities that are intentional in our knowing of him. We want to always keep that foundation of grace, of love, of faith. But everything we have is by the grace of God. Everything. So our devotion, our discipline, and our spiritual disciplines are not because we have to, we get to in our knowing of him. So again, we don't want to have that obligation or, oh my gosh, I didn't pray today like I really probably should have or whatever. And then we start condemning ourselves and we start to feel distant because we didn't do what we thought we should do. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. It's like, oh, yeah, but my heart is there. And so I have that heart connection. So my praying is not just when I'm, you know, like taking that time out to be intentional, but am I communicating with God throughout my day? Because I get to do that, not just in 10 or a minutes or a half hour,
I want to.
But we get to because of the grace of God. Jesus said to these women, you know, the first people he saw after he rose, don't be afraid. I mean, doesn't that just like melt your heart?
Yes.
You know? And go tell my brothers. You know? We're his sisters. We're his brothers. And we get to communicate with him all the time by the grace of God. How many of you have had God or the Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, speak to you and you were like, whoa, you know? And it was such a pleasant surprise, but you knew it was him. And he's God, so he can do it in a million and one ways, you know? And I'm sure we could go around this room and say, well, God told me that in this context. Like, wow, you know? And it'd be all different. Because by his grace, his love, he knows each of us, you know? So what I want to get to is point four, that the school of strategic living, which either you have been involved in as a student, a facilitator, or you're interested in the school of strategic living, is just an excellent way for spiritual reproduction and discipleship. The content of the school being so biblically based and just going to a depth just provides such an opportunity to go to another level of depth personally in your own relationship with the Lord, but also the way the school is set up with those that you interact with. It, as a student, in a small group, the way the groups are set up, and with your facilitator, and I've been both, but in going over the material together, it's just such an opportunity that you can discuss things at a deep level. And, you know, you can touch people even though maybe you haven't known them before you come together. And the way that the school is set up now, for instance, I as a facilitator have a student in London and a student in South Africa. But we get to interact together because of the way the school is set up now in the learning management system. And we can come together online and discuss the lessons. Now, we didn't know each other before a couple of years ago, but through interacting with the lessons and, you know, everything, we get to go to a depth with each other that is great. And they're both in their 20s, and they're in a different place of life than I am, but we have, and they're from different cultures than I am, but we have such great interaction together because of the School of Strategic Living. And, you know, I, as a woman, am just so thankful. You know, for years, I, you know, was a pastor's wife and, you know, did all the things that pastor's wives do and teaching and different things like that. But I have just had such a broader and more effective way of discipling through the School of Strategic Living than I had before, really. And I am just so grateful for it and for the relationships I've made. And, you know, I have students for like 2 years, and then the relationships continue, just in different ways. But it's just such a wonderful opportunity. And, you know, if you have not taken the school, I would certainly encourage you to really seriously consider it. And if you finished year one, go on to year two and complete it, you know, and then turn around and be a facilitator yourself. And again, you don't have to be old to do that. You just have to have been a student. You learn yourself, and then you turn and you help others to learn, and you keep learning, really. As a facilitator, you keep learning. And I'm sure every facilitator in here can say that. Every time I go through the material, it's like, wow, it was like the first time, almost. Because you're going through with different people, and the Lord's doing different things in your life at that time than maybe 4 years ago. So, you know, it's you just keep learning. So you're a student facilitator, really, at the same time, but you're also discipling in such a meaningful way. And as Dennis just shared, what we want and need to do is to raise up leaders. What did Jesus do? He walked, he talked, he gave, and then he said, I'm leaving, but you're staying. I'm going to be with you, and you're going to go, and you're going to give what I've given to you.
Yes.
And so that is what we get to continue to do. And the School of Strategic Living is such a marvelous opportunity. It's cross-cultural. It just, because it's biblical, and gets to roots of biblical and critical thinking that we all need, no matter what age we are. Because our ways of thinking are constantly bombarded in this day and age. First of all, we have like information overload for thinking, you know, but also we just have to constantly be cleansed by the word. And we constantly have to, okay, it's like Dennis has said before, I got to get in my right mind. And the School of Strategic Living helps us to get there and to stay there. But the younger someone can go through this, the better, you know. Once they're at an age that they can, you know, take in this material, you know, I would say 15, 16 years old, probably on the younger end. But it depends on the maturity of the student as well. But at any age, it is so relevant, especially for the times in which we live, so that we can be leaders, we can reproduce as God desires us to do relationally, that we get to have relational connection in the School of Strategic Living and keep that relational connection, as well as we are sowing into multi-generational biblical thinking, which is just so, so critical in our day and age. So I just wanted to conclude by reading John 15, 7 through 8. This, of course, is the chapter on Jesus being the true vine, which is so, it's just such a rich chapter to continually read and digest. But before I read this, I just want to reiterate that Jesus chose ordinary people. In the upper room, there were 120 ordinary people. There were his disciples. There was his mother. There were, you know, people, other disciples, really, followers of his that were there. But they were mostly ordinary people that ultimately did extraordinary things. And we are ordinary people. But as we are connected to Jesus the vine, we can do extraordinary things.
Yes.
We can disciple people, and we can have them to be ready, because we're not discipling people after us. We're discipling people after the Lord Jesus Christ. We just get to help them.
After the Lord's kind.
After the Lord's kind, yes. But he is in us. And so he is reproducing through us in who he has made us to be as well. But yes, they are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And who knows what the people that we get to touch, disciple, our children, you know, people in our family sphere that God has brought us into, people in our work sphere, you know, all different people that God has brought into our lives. Some we get to influence maybe their whole life. Others, a part of their life, we get to disciple. Through the School of Strategic Living, you know, many ways we get to disciple, but we will produce lasting fruit. And our fruit will remain, will be like the godly, like the trees that bear life-giving fruit.
Yes.
And it will go on generation to generation.
Yes.
So let's just read John 15:7-8. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to read it though. Just as, first of all, the words of life from the Lord Jesus himself, but also as a blessing to each one of you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, again, he made this relational connection right there after he said those words, you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. So, Father, we are just in awe of you in so many ways. But as we consider your way in this short time of how you have chosen to reproduce, to bring forth fruit by relationship, because you are a relational God. We just want to be faithful. We want to abide in you. And we believe that we have, we are, and we will produce lasting fruit.
Yes.
For your glory. That you will open our eyes to see if we don't quite see those who you have brought into our life to disciple. To influence, to lead toward you, to help, to follow you, to help to know you in a deeper way. That you will continue to, by your grace, make us disciples so that we can help others to be your disciples. Thank you that we get to do this.
Yes.
And that you said, you are with us always,
yes,
even to the end of the age. When you told your disciples to go and disciple the nations, you said, I am with you, and you are with us.
Yes.
Help us never forget that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
This is a copyrighted program of Go Strategic, Santa Rosa, California. Unauthorized reproduction is prohibited. Go Strategic is an international nonprofit organization that educates and equips leaders and others for effective service and leadership using biblical principles. For more information, visit us online at www.gostrategic.org.